It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, this is the final segment in our five-part series featuring the individual Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors, finishing off with the board chair for the current year, David Goldenberg, who will be terming out at the end of the year. Supervisor Goldenberg, thanks for coming in today.
Good morning, BJ, and thanks for the invite, and timely to be coming in today, the day after the election.
Yeah, so we're sitting down after the election, and you are the final show and the only show that's happening right after the election. So I'm kind of just curious your thoughts and observations.
Yeah, so, you know, on several different levels. You know, one, on the national election, obviously, you know, I respect that the voters, you know, in our country, you know, made their choice in electing, you know, Donald Trump as our next president, his second term. I firmly believe that the reason that they did so was largely based on economic issues and concerns, which I think we've all felt. You know, there's a lot of debate as to information, misinformation. You know, we just have to go with what we see and make our choices accordingly. You know, people are very concerned about their own finances, the ability to support themselves, their families. This is natural, expected. You know, when I look at some of the things at the federal level, and I know this doesn't necessarily carry down to the county, but when there's discussion about tariffs, you know, I think that's largely going to be borne by the countries that have products that have tariffs imposed upon them. And the end result could be higher costs, you know, for people, you know, in the goods, you know, that they're purchasing. On the local level, Measure Z, I'm very disappointed, you know, that the voters in our county did not recognize the need. We at the county level did our best to articulate and explain the circumstances and why these funds were needed. I do agree that, you know, there's cases, obviously, where we could do some trimming, you know, in the county government structure. That's important, you know, but on the other hand, you know, and I know Supervisor Kirk, you know, during his session, you know, articulated, you know, cutting of positions, you know, up to 21 positions. But in reality, those 21 positions are not going to come anywhere near close to, you know, making up for what we would have seen in Measure Z. Measure A falls right on the heels of it. You know, Measure A was designed, you know, particularly to support Measure Z and to give the public, you know, some confidence. And as a board member, we all signed off on, you know, that we would hold to our priorities, you know, currently law enforcement, fire department operations and roads. I think that's still going to be the same, you know, moving forward. Measure A doesn't dictate that the county has to do that, you know, because it was really geared towards Measure Z. You know, the board workshop, next board workshop of the Board of Supervisors will be in January. They'll establish their priorities at that time, and we'll see how all of that, you know, blends in. So, obviously, the final area, you know, as far as
your local replacement who will be taking over the district one seat.
Exactly. Thank you. So, you know, I just want to remind everybody that when we're electing supervisors in the county, and this is the same for every county, you know, within the state, is that they're nonpartisan offices. Everybody understands that, you know, they're not run on partisanship. But when we look at that, it's interesting to note that, you know, there can be some conflicts because partisan has taken place. You know, the Republican Central Committee, you know, they had concerns that they addressed. You know, on the Democratic side, they did as well, but it's nonpartisan. And so we need to, you know, hold ourselves to that, you know, the when somebody is elected in a district, they're elected by the people in that district, but they serve the county as a whole. And sometimes we don't always see that takes place. Mike Holland was elected by a pretty wide margin. I personally supported Larry Coombs. I felt that he was going to be the person that I felt I wanted to see come in behind me. I felt that he had a more moderate voice, which is something that I've taken a lot of pride in, is, you know, being the more reasonable and moderate voice on the board. That can be challenging at times, you know, dealing with my fellow supervisors. But it's very important that an incoming board member take their job very seriously. And, you know, one of the concerns that I have is that Mike has several businesses in the county, and I'm not sure that he is fully understanding of the load that is going to be placed on him operating as a county supervisor, because quite honestly, we already have one part-time supervisor now with Supervisor Kirk, and he does a pretty good job, but there's times where, you know, maybe he's a little bit behind because he's not full-time. I get up, go to work every day. I consider it a full-time job, have done so for my entire 4 years. And so I hope that Mr. Holland takes that seriously. There's a list of committee assignments. He could easily have between 12 and 14 committee assignments, plus there'll be alternate on another 8 to 10 committees if another supervisor is not able to make a meeting for one reason. We rely on each other to fill in. That's a huge commitment, just in all the committees. And so I just really want to see, you know, the at a minimum, a supervisor, they got to make the couple of meetings a month. Well, it's no longer a couple of meetings per month, right? We have often 3 meetings a month, sometimes special meetings in between. It's a large commitment, and I really hope that, Mr. Holland will adhere to that and be fully participant.
So there's going to be 2 new board members coming up in January, Mike Holland for District 1, Steve Griefer for District 4. You mentioned Measure Z as well, that failed to pass. What kind of challenges do you foresee with finances in the county's future now?
Well, recently the county had a whole series of public meetings, and we did a lot of reach out. They were well attended for the most part. People needed to have a better understanding of the overall budget. And so I kind of mentioned that, there's some room for trimming, but, when we look at this impact, we're just going to see where it shakes out. I know that on the county side, our CEO, Tracy Riggs, is working with, the various county staff and the department heads. And they were, obviously we were anticipating, right? Will this pass or not pass? And so now that it did not pass, there's some efforts on the part of the department heads to do an evaluation of each of their own departments and see where they feel they might be able to, trim some costs. The Board of Supervisors, we're at the policy level. We develop policy, we manage the budget. We do not have the day-to-day operational authority or impact, over the individual department heads. So they're going to work on, some areas that they feel they can trim some costs. On the other hand, the board certainly, as the overriding factor, I was one board member of 5. That's the same thing that, Mike Collins is going to be. They're going to have to make decisions on where to go in the future. But there's going to be impacts. There's going to be cutbacks. There's probably going to be some elimination of positions.
What question I've asked some of the other supervisors, too. What is your reaction if somebody in the community says, the supervisors have not been managing money well or government's too bloated, that type of thing?
Well, I would invite them to, have a closer look and come in and see. It is not near as simple. It's very complex. It's the county budget is very large. We're making efforts to to make that, you know, more understandable. And the sessions that we had, you know, the public sessions were very good about that. But in general, you know, the last part you...
The question of people saying that the county doesn't run the government well, okay. And it's become too bloated.
Right. Thank you. So in some areas, there's a lot of misunderstanding because we have a lot of positions and even programs that are largely grant-funded. So people see all these positions, and they don't really understand that a lot of them are grant-funded. Thus, they're not having an impact on what is called the county general fund. Quite honestly, in the past, previous boards, you know, they made good efforts, to work on the budget. They had their priorities as well. But in some areas, you know, they just did not pay all of the attention that they should have. And so previous boards, as our board came in, we had to deal with the realities of addressing things head on and making corrections as needed.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg. It's part of our series talking with the individual supervisors about issues facing the county as well as their individual districts. We will get into Supervisor Goldenberg's District 1 coming up in the next segment here. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking with District 1 Supervisor David Goldenberg. He's the board chair for this year on this weekend's Motherload Views. It's part 5 of our series featuring the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. Want to get in a little bit on District 1 and its issues particularly. You know, so for anybody who's unfamiliar, where does District 1 all cover?
So District 1, a lot of people, you know, just consider the city of Sonora. Well, definitely it includes the entire city of Sonora, but it's got the outlying areas, going out racetrack, Sawmill Flat Road, actually up Big Hill Road, to the top and a little bit beyond past the mill, and then out Phoenix Lake Road, the Meadowbrook area. So it's kind of a wide, you know, variety of areas, probably about a 50-50 mix, you know, between the city and the outlying, county jurisdictional areas.
You know, one building that's in your district is the historic courthouse downtown. There's been talk about what to do with that building. What is kind of the latest with that planning?
So the latest thing that we did as a board is that we agreed to, expend, county funds towards putting in an elevator. However, whatever decisions are made as far as the utilization of the building, first area that we looked at was really to look at, where the county had lease space. So they were paying rent for various areas, the sheriff's department, IT, other parts of the county organization. So was there an opportunity to, move them into space in the historic courthouse? So we looked at that. There's been a tremendous amount of public outcry, with concerns about especially the third floor of the courthouse and the importance of that and preserving that. I know that, when I initially went on tours over there and we were discussing perhaps moving the county operation, including the board and admin, over onto that floor, I had really a lot of concerns, as far as preservation of that. So where it sits right now is that as a board, we stepped back. We realized we were having tremendous concerns about the county budget, but we did realize that no matter what, however we decide to utilize that space, whether it be for access to Tuolumne to have some space in there, this is a recent discussion that we just had at the board meeting, whether we look at a museum on the third floor, preservation of that, how to manage that, it still requires ADA access, hence the elevator. If we use employees, you know, bringing in on the first and or second floors, you know, we have to look at that as well. But I'm firmly in support of preserving the third floor. I would love to see, you know, our Tuolumne County Arts Council, you know, have maybe space in the building, and that could be looked at. But there's a lot of things. We need to have that cultural aspect. And a lot of our visitors, when they come to communities, I know my wife and I do when we're traveling, love to see opportunities to check out these historical spaces.
Any other projects or initiatives specific to District 1?
Right now, there's, you know, obviously, that you know, there's been a lot of ongoing concern about homelessness. I'd like to speak, you know, about that a little bit further in detail after here, not get so much in. But I know it's a deep concern, you know, of the city, and we've had, you know, different conversations about it. You know, sometimes, you know, the city and county differ in our opinions of that. But homelessness is definitely, you know, a concern on the part of the district, you know, overall.
Do you feel that the county is on the right path right now when it comes to addressing homelessness?
I do. You know, it's the public again. You know, there's people on each side saying, well, no, we just soon, you know, you transport them out of the county. You know, they don't need to be here. And they're claiming that people were bussed in, which is actually incorrect. Most of the homeless people that are in the county are here because they were either part of the county or they had, you know, perhaps close family or friend, you know, relationships. The efforts that the county took, you know, to bring in acquisition of properties to deal with, you know, the situations has been pretty far reaching. You know, we ended up, you know, we started out with a navigation center, which is outside of the city, but up in Soulsbyville. And then we looked at, you know, properties within the city, including on Columbia Way, you know, housing for veterans. Very important to have housing for our veterans that are homeless. And so that could be a series of apartments. Snell Street, which is right on the border between the county and city jurisdiction, that's an area that's being looked at. When you go out to Columbia, slightly outside of my district, but right on the edge, is the Parrott's Ferry acquisition that we did there. There's four homes on that property. Three of them have been pretty well renovated at this time. The oldest home, I think, was built around 1898. It's got some sloping floors, needs a little extra work. The Navigation Center has some people that are occupying, you know, there now, as well as out at Parrott's Ferry Road. The final big one was the Miners Motel, which is, you know, in between Sonora and Jamestown. That's going to be a large project. We're looking ahead here to January of 2025 to get some more architect work to give us a plan, because it, you know, one of the biggest things with the homelessness is not, we got a lot of one-time funding, you know, to make these acquisitions, but we need to have the ongoing, you know, funding that will allow us to, you know, keep them running, you know, which is really where the success is going to be.
As mentioned earlier, you are in your final about a month and a half as a supervisor here in Tuolumne County. You serve one term and decide not to seek reelection. You know, looking back on these 4 years, what would you say have been some of the highlights?
So the highlights for me, and I've got a couple of notes I'm going to refer to here, please. Sorry. One of the biggest highlights for me, of course, is looking at what we've been able to do for our local fire department, for the Tuolumne County Fire Department. And this is not by any means just my district. This is countywide. We've had serious problems. A lot of it was driven by two main factors. One, we had a tremendous amount of antiquated old fire apparatus, right? They were out of date. They didn't meet current safety standards. They were breaking down, unfortunately, on a regular basis. So we aggressively, as a board, and I really pushed hard for this based on, you know, my own, you know, former career with Cal Fire, that we had to replace equipment, right? Because at one point we had over 20 pieces of equipment that were 25 years or older. That is wrong, right? We don't need equipment breaking down on the way to a fire. So as a board, you know, we ended up purchasing a total of 9 pieces of line fire apparatus. So this included 3 brand new fire engines, what they call Type 2 engines, which is, you know, for more rural communities. We also acquired 4 used fire engines, Type 1 engines, that were gently used, and we got a good price on them. And we bought 2 new water tenders, a new breathing support, a new repair vehicle, and utility vehicles. This made a huge impact on upgrading the fleet. Anytime you have a fleet of equipment, you know, whether it be a private trucking company, you know, down in the valley, if they had, you know, a replacement schedule, what they're looking at is that they're going to budget, you know, for replacing 1 or 2 trucks a year. And so the fire department needs to do exactly that. And unfortunately, in the past, they got behind, and so the acquisitions weren't there. The staffing is huge, right? You know, when I was a fire captain here with Cal Fire, we had approximately 120 volunteer firefighters throughout the county, and now we've got 10 to 15. And some of those are very limited in what they can accomplish. You know, maybe they're just driving water tenders, which I support. So we got for staffing, right? You know, if you have that much less volunteers, what it's going to equate to is that somehow we've still got to staff those fire engines. You know, when somebody picks up their phone and calls 911, they're going to expect that they're going to have somebody show up. They don't really care who's what engine, whose patch, you know, the employees are wearing. They just want to know that somebody's, you know, come to help. So staffing is generally 85 to 90% of a fire department's budget is based on personnel, on staffing. So we got a SAFER grant that Chief Murphy from Tuolumne County Fire applied for. It was a 3-year grant. It allowed us to put staffed engines in Mona Vista, Columbia. We staffed a second engine up in Groveland, in addition to the engine that staffed under agreement with Groveland Community Services District and Cal Fire. They have their own separate agreement. Those funds are going to run out in 1.5 years, a little bit less right now. And so the people in those communities, right, they you know, are feeling safe and feeling good about having those engines close by. And there was some, you know, issues in the Columbia area, you know, where they couldn't, the volunteers weren't able to respond. There was a fire not far from the fire station, and they didn't have an adequate response. So we're going to see those things are here now. And this was a huge area that we were really looking to Measure Z, to help us, you know, figure out how to more long term, you know, to have the stability that's necessary. So with the, you know, with no passage of Measure Z, that's going to be a big challenge. We can staff those fire engines. We can, you know, continue to support the Sheriff's Department and roads as was planned. But there's going to be takeaways, you know, someplace else.
Need to take one more break. Talking with David Goldenberg, the board chair of the supervisors, on our series featuring the individual board members. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking with the board chair of the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors on this weekend's Motherload Views, part five in our series featuring the individual supervisors talking about issues facing their district and the county as a whole. Got a few minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Supervisor Goldenberg, what are some other items that you've got top of mind right now?
Yeah, so thanks, BJ. Particularly as board chair and looking at the county as a whole, this portion, we're looking at the Sheriff's Dispatch Center, the 911 dispatch. They've had some, where they've gone down several times. Their generator even failed. So we were looking at what we can do to, rectify that situation. At one point, we were thinking about trying to do a remodel at the old jail where they're located. But right now, we've made a decision that we're going to move the dispatch operation from their current location to Stryker Court, where our what's called our EOC is, Emergency Operations Center. So they'll we're working with Cal OES, 911 folks, the Sheriff Vasquez, and I have been having many conversations as well as the ones that I've had with staff. Eventually, we're going to transition it, hopefully, to the jail itself. We're waiting on final approval from the state. Visit Tuolumne County been a long-term relationship with the county as far as getting a portion of the what's called TOT taxes, transit occupancy taxes, and they we negotiated a new contract with them. It's been a little bit now where they were getting 25%, they're getting 16% now, but they're working towards trying to get what's called a TMD, a tourism marketing district. And hopefully they'll be successful in that, but they're still going to get county funds at a level of roughly $1.5 million, and it could climb to as much as $2 million a year, even if they don't get their TMD. So I know there was a lot of concern in that area, so I want people to realize that. The last item was Yosemite National Park. They've had a reservation system, and there's been much concern on the part of Visit Tuolumne County, our local Tuolumne County Lodging Association. On September, September 24th, I think it was, there was a item that was brought to the board by Supervisor Half. It was a letter and a resolution. Quite honestly, I didn't like, the flavor of that, let's say. I felt that it was too negative, that there was a better approach. So recently I called for a meeting, which we held on Halloween Day. So we had Cicely Muldone, park superintendent, her chief of staff, other staff, Tracy Riggs and myself, Lisa Mayo from Visit Tuolumne County, and Len Otley from the Lodging Association. We had a very good conversation. There's no promises here, but we're trying to figure out a way that if guests come to Tuolumne County, that they'll be guaranteed admittance into the park, which is very important, for the Lodging Association, for the restaurants, that survive on that. And, of course, the county needs those funds, as well.
Yeah, we've got about a minute left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Appreciate the update on all those items. Will we still see you around Tuolumne County after you term out of office at the first of the year?
I will still be here. I first purchased property in 1979, moved up here full-time in 1982. That's about 42 years, that I've been here full-time. I'm almost considered local, maybe not quite. I do plan, my wife and I just recently, we did some major renovations on our house, new siding and projects, new fire-resistant vents. So we're fully planned to be here in the community, and I intend to remain active.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming in.
You betcha.
Thank you. We thank Supervisor David Goldenberg for being our guest on Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.